Luke 17. Go with me if you would. Join me there. Luke chapter 17. We're going to start at verse number 11. Amen. I'm thankful for the sunshine. Man, that was, that's a long time since we saw that sun. We went down to Louisiana, and it got cloudy while we were there, and I don't think we saw sun since we've been home. It tried to poke through here and there, but man, just to see it shining yesterday and today, it feels good. And I like what Brother Gunderman said. You know, we're headed to a city where the Lamb is the light. There won't be, we don't have to worry about the sun. It'll be perpetual. He is the light. Amen. Luke 17, verse 11. If you're there, just say amen. If you're going to look at the screen, say amen. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that Jesus, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 lepers, 10 men that were lepers. Everybody say 10 men. 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, everybody say one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on the principle, and there is a very great principle here, the principle of the 10 lepers. The principle of the 10 lepers. And Father, I would ask you today, as we are thankful for your word and we're thankful for your presence that we know is here with us today, I pray that you would bless this part of the service as we teach and perhaps preach your word. I pray that it would be taught and caught, respectively. And I pray that not only those that are here in person, but those that are watching today, I feel like would receive a word from you. God, I pray that it would change us. We need to be changed to be more like you. We ask these things in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen. Amen. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The Bible affords us throughout its pages more than a few opportunities to make these comparative observations. The Lord seems to almost go out of his way at times to put on display these juxtapositions for our admonition and for our warning, I think, showing us these opposing forces, these differing entities. I'll give you a few examples. For instance, when the 12 spies went into the promised land to spy out the land, all 24 eyeballs saw the same things. When they came back from the promised land, there were differing, opposing reports. Same land, same people, different reports. Now, you might say, well, it would break down at least 50-50 or the majority in the positive, but that's not what the Bible gives us. The Bible gives us this report of out of 12 spies, 10 of them came back with what the Bible calls an evil report. Evil because it went against what the Lord had said. And they said, "We are not able. The land is bountiful and the land is, look at the grapes that we brought back, but we're not able. We are not able. There are giants in the land. Their cities are walled. There are many of them. They're fortified. We are not able to take the land." And out of 12 spies, two, only two, came back with what we would call a report of faith that said, oh no, we are well able, let us go up at once. So the Bible posits these juxtaposition, these comparative observations. It affords us this ability to say, look at this comparison here between the 10 and the 2. It's there for our admonition. Another example would be the three Hebrew children who would face this edict of the evil king who says, you bow to my statue or you go to the fiery furnace. And I would remind you that there were not only three Hebrew children that had been brought out of Israel. There were more. But that day, there were hundreds, maybe thousands, who when the music played, bowed to the image, and only three. Here's this example for us to view, that three out of hundreds, maybe thousands, stood, literally took a stand and said, we will not bow to any man's image. We will only worship our one true God. And then we could go to Daniel and we could say Daniel really stood alone. Daniel had nobody to stand with him. He didn't even have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't know where they were in this particular story, but they weren't even around when he went those three times a day and opened his windows towards Jerusalem and continued to pray when the king had said, if you pray, you'll die. And he goes to the lion's den all alone by himself. Now here's my point, the point I think the Bible makes. Are you ready? This is deep. Doing the right thing is rarely, I would say, if ever, easy. And I would just say this, that as time continues to tick by, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get tougher. Amen. No wonder the Bible says that in these last days, there are going to be people who know their God, and those who know their God, not anybody else, but those who do know their God, they will be strong. They will do exploits. Because if we don't know our God, we're getting to the point where you can't fake it anymore. You can't pretend when it gets down to the point where they say you either bow or die, it separates the pretenders. Hebrew children, you can't pretend here. It's real or it's fake. Daniel, this will separate the hypocrites from those who are sincere when it says if you pray, you die. It won't get easier. It will get tougher. And I'm not here to bring you bad news. I'm here to bring you good news and tell you that the Bible didn't tell us it would ever be easy. Doing the right thing's never been easy. It's just going to get tougher. But we still have to keep doing the right thing. The 10 lepers in our story, you know, we often talk about, when we talk about this particular account, we talk about the nine. I've heard many sermons, I've preached many sermons about the nine. Where are the nine, Jesus says. Or we go to the one, we talk about the one. And I'm going to, spoiler alert, I'm going to do that today. But before I'm finished, I'll talk about the nine and I'll talk about the one. But before we ever have the nine separated from the one and the one standing alone by himself, we have the ten. Bible says 10 men came that day. Something, and we don't know the backstory here, but we can only imagine that something brought these 10 men to a unilateral decision to walk together, to hang together. I mean, they were a gang of lepers. You can't be in our gang unless you have leprosy. And once you are a leper, you can come and hang out in our gang. And nobody was beating the door down to get in this gang, I guarantee you. But they were whatever it was, you've all heard the saying, misery loves company. And I think that's true sometimes, but I'll be honest with you, there's been times where I've been miserable, I didn't want anybody around. Leave me alone, let me just sit here and pity myself and be miserable for a while. But you do get to a point where you start, you know, well, anybody else sharing this pain? And pain will bring you together with other people who are suffering in like manner. That's why we have today, we have these things called support groups. And support groups, you don't go, if you, now see, let me help you here. Yesterday my wife was talking about things that she had found on her grandfather, Brother Axum, our former pastor, and it was an army record that showed when he was, how old was he? Yeah, when he went in. 21 years old, and this record showed that he was, how tall was he? Six something? Your grandpa? 5'11"? 5'11", almost 6 feet tall. He weighed 134 pounds. Yeah, figure that out. You do the BMI on that. There wasn't much meat on those bones when he was 18. Almost 6 feet tall and 134 pounds. So if that describes your build, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just saying maybe a few curls and bench presses would be your friend there. But maybe eat a milkshake once in a while. We won't talk about that too much. I'm on the other side of that. I need to lay off. But here's where I was going with that. If you're 5'11 or 6 feet tall and weigh 134 pounds, you don't go to the support group for Overeaters Anonymous because you don't relate to that. And if you are, if you've never had a drink of alcohol in your whole life, you don't go to Alcoholics Anonymous because you don't belong there. You will be considered an outsider. Here's what brings support groups together is they share like pain. You don't know what it's like to be an alcoholic. You can't go sit among them and share in their stories. Now, you can support them, and you can love them, and you can pray for them, and you can be sympathetic to them, but to really share an empathetic ear or to relate to what they're going through, if you've never had the shakes because you haven't had a drink, you don't know what they're going through. And it's easy for those of us who have never been there to say, well, if you'd just stop drinking, sure. Easy for you to say, if you've never had a puff of nicotine, to tell those who are hooked to nicotine to stop smoking, sure. Easy for you to say. Brother Jerry, no, I'm picking on Jerry. Look at me. You and Brother McClary, who's not able to be here this morning, I think he'll be here this afternoon, and a couple of others of you, I've already talked to Jerry about this, but we're going to have a group started here pretty soon, and it's going to be for people who have suffered loss and are grieving, and so they're not everybody will be will find a benefit in that particular group. But there are some, if you've lost your loved one and you're going through the grieving process, you'll get something out of that group. And Brother Jerry knows that pain. And so I called him and said, hey, what about this? And he said, I think that would be something I'd be interested in. Brother McClary knows that pain. Now, many of you have been through that situation. But if you've gone through it recently, sometimes there's a benefit in being around people who can you can talk with and share your story with, and this is what I'm dealing with. And honestly, I have not, you know, I'm blessed to say my parents are in their 70s and they're still living. I don't know what it's like to lose my parent, so I can imagine, but I don't know. So I pray for those who do. I'll be there someday if the Lord tarries. I still got a 94-year-old grandmother living. So I don't, you know, I've lost some grandparents, but my parents, I can't relate in the same way. I've never had cancer, so I can't sit down with somebody who's had cancer. Can I care? Yeah. Can I love them? Yes. Can I pray for them? Yeah. Now, I can go sit down with somebody who's going through heart issues, and that resonates with me. I've been there. I know what it feels like to hear that pronounced over you. I know what it feels like to go through that healing process. But we get into other areas. Sister Eads, it's so good to see you here today, here with a healing from a broken back. And here she is. Thank God you're here today. Here's what I'm saying to us is that there are certain things that pain can bring us together. Now, nobody's going to talk about broken backs like somebody who's had a broken back or has a broken back. Something brought these men together, and it's obvious for our observation that it was they were all lepers. This group was a, I don't know if it was a support group, but they were together, and this thing that brought them together, their pain, their suffering, their story, their deficiencies, their illness, their sickness. I mean, they could stand there, they could stand around, and they could compare scars, literal scars. Look at this scar where I almost lost this finger. Look, or look how my hand is drawn up. Do you notice my face kind of drooping a little bit? Yeah, that happened to me. That happened to me about 6 months ago. Here's what's going to happen next. Well, what about this limp? Yeah, that's not going to get any better. And I know, I remember. The first time I saw the lesion on my skin, I remember the look, oh yes, on my wife's face. And they could sit around and they could talk about stories and their kids and their wives and their families, everybody that they're now that are now alienated to them, and they had the same story. But one day these 10 lepers, this gang, this support group of lepers, heard about Jesus. It's the best thing that ever happened to them was that they heard about Jesus. And this thing that brought them together as a support group now brings them to this unilateral decision to go to Jesus. And the Bible tells us that when he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 lepers. 10 men that were lepers met him. I don't know the discussion, but maybe it was something like, we tried everything else. Why not? This isn't working. Why not? We stand around all day long talking about our problems and our issues and our pains. And here we hear about this man who's healing lepers. Why would you not go to Jesus? I ask that question every day when I look at lives around me. I think, why would you not try Jesus? Why would you not give Jesus a chance to speak into your situation, into your life? What do you have to lose if you're a leper? You're a leper. What do you have to lose by going to Jesus? Maybe this is the conversation that they had with one another was, you know, this isn't working. We're not getting any better. We're still the same as we've always been. So why not go try Jesus? And so one of them started the conversation and the other one said, yeah, maybe that's not so bad. And then pretty soon three of them and five of them and six of them, maybe there was one or two, maybe, you don't know. I don't know about that, all that religious stuff. I don't know, you know, people are saying he's this or that. But finally they came to a consensus. Now, we don't know the backstory. As I said, maybe there were 20 to start with. We don't really know. But we know that at least 10 of them said, let's go see Jesus. Now, let me say this to you. Whatever your situation, maybe I'm talking to somebody today who you still have yet to come and really give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here, maybe you're watching. But let me say this. Don't you put off and don't you wait. Don't put stipulations on your decision that says, well, when so-and-so will go with me, or if only I had more people to agree with me, or if everybody in my family, or if my wife would see it, or my husband would see it. Let me stop you right there. If there was a group of 20, I'm sure the 10 were thankful that they didn't let the other 10 stop them from coming to Jesus, because all 10 of these lepers who went to Jesus were healed. Now, we'll talk about the 9 and the 1 here in a moment, but let's not skip over the fact that 10, every single one who came to Jesus, Brother Teague, was healed of their leprosy. So you don't come to Jesus and put your faith in Jesus and commit to Jesus and your life not be radically transformed. I'm going to submit to you that if you are stuck and you're still in the same problematic situation you've been in for years, don't gripe about Jesus and don't blame it on the church. Maybe what we need to do is get back to an old-fashioned altar. You remember that place where you found it the first time? You need to run back to that very same spot, fall down on that very same altar, and pray that very same prayer. prayer to the very same Jesus, and you'll find the very same answer. The very same answer is still there. Jesus is still all powerful. Jesus is still a healer. Jesus is still a savior. Jesus is still a miracle worker. Run back. Come on, somebody. Run back to Jesus. There's no mystery here. This is not some, oh, Jesus changed your life 30 years ago and now he's trying to hide from you. Not at all. Jesus didn't move away. If anybody moved away, we. And we start by praying. We start by getting back to where we were when we first found him. We get in the church and then we start thinking churchy. And thinking about church stuff and church ways and church. And we get, and nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying we get all wrapped up in the church culture and we forget about what's really important. It's not about the trappings. It's not about the ministries. It's not about the giftings. It's not about the talents. It's not about what time we get here and what time we leave and how long he preached. And, oh, that was a good sermon. Yeah, I've heard him preach better. Or, I don't know. I don't like that particular song. I wish we sang more of these kind of songs. I don't know. You know, I wish our schedule was, I don't know about that 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock stuff and all that stuff. You know what we do? We drift away from what's really important, which is to fall before Jesus and say, God, don't ever stop transforming me. Don't ever stop changing me. I've got to stay close to Jesus. It's still all about Jesus. It's not about your pastor. It's not about your neighbor sitting around you. It's not about whether somebody comes with you. And this is where I was going. If you wait till your husband goes, your husband may never go. Your wife may never go. I pray they do. But I'm simply saying, you're not going to heaven as a couple. In fact, I got a little scripture that says, If there are two of you together, this is another one of those juxtaposition comparatives. Jesus said one would be taken and the other left, so you better pray hard. Now, he was just giving an example there. I'm sure he doesn't mean that only one spouse is going out of every married couple. I hope not. Because I know my wife's life. I'm in trouble. If only one of us are going, she's it. You get my point. We're not going to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because she's saved, and she's not going because I'm saved. And I don't come to Jesus because she agrees to go. Some of you will come to the Lord, and you'll lead your spouse to Jesus. And it might be a slow lead, but you don't give up. Amen? The ten that came to Jesus got healed. That's the good news. That's worth shouting about. And then it gets a little more interesting. Jesus tells these 10 lepers, the 10 lepers who come, who meet him there and lifted up their voice and said, have mercy on us. And Jesus said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, here's the significance of going to show yourself to the priests. You only go to the priest if you feel like, as a leper, you are cleansed. That's the law. Remember I talked about the law last week? That's the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to circumvent the law. I didn't come to destroy the law. Remember last week we talked about, I came to what? Fulfill the law. That didn't mean he came to keep the law, but it's part of what he did. He was still, Jesus as a human was still living on earth under this dispensation of the law. So as much as was possible, he kept the law, but he's getting ready to fulfill every type, figure, shadow of the law when he dies on Calvary. Isn't that awesome? And so he's getting ready, the sages would say, he's fixing to, yeah, no? He's fixing to fulfill the law. But the law's still in effect. So So what Jesus says is, you're still under the law, and so here you'll do what the law says. The law says, go. Here's what the law said. If you think you have leprosy, that poor priest, man, sometimes I think we got it rough today because we have cell phones and everybody has instant access to the pastor. If you got my cell number, you have instant access to me all the time. Nothing wrong with that, but you would not believe some of the texts I get all day long. Somebody has a thought, boom, oh, pastor needs to know this, has to know this. This is going to blow his mind, you know. And I just get anything people see on Facebook, anything people copy, paste. Use some discretion. There's 250 of you, okay? Love you, but I probably already saw it somewhere, you know. I'll pray for you if you have a need, but some of the conspiracy stuff, just pray hard before you send that to me. Sometimes I think about that, and I think, man, but then I think about the priest in the Old Testament. And people, if they saw a spot on their skin, they run into the priest. I think I have leprosy, you know. Why do you think you have leprosy? I was around a leper 10 weeks ago, and now I see a spot. And he's like, let me see, that's just a pimple, you know. Go back to your wife. And some of these husbands are like, are you sure? Maybe I need to be separated for a few days, you know. It's a pimple. Go back to your wife. This is part of the life of a priest. He's to inspect people who think they have leprosy. They go show themselves to the priest. And the priest examines them and says, oh, yeah, I've seen a lot of leprosy. That might be. Now go over here and just live a life of separation for a few days. Go read it. It's in the Bible. And then you'll come back in a few days and you will, see, right here. Somebody calling me in the middle of my sermon right now. You want me to answer it? I know a preacher who would even answer in the middle of his preaching. But the priest had it worse, okay. The priest had it worse. Go separate yourself for a few days. Come back and show it to me again. So he'd come back. Still there. In fact, it's grown. And he'd look at it again. He'd notice what it looked like, how it's spreading, all that stuff. If they're deemed to have leprosy, then they're separated. And that's how they got to have these leprosy colonies. Leper colonies, where lepers would live together. Because they were excommunicated from the general society, religiously, socially. They were separated. And then, if a leper thought he was in remission and was cleansed, guess where he went? He texts the priest, yes. He calls the priest in the middle of his sermon and says, I think I'm cleansed. And the priest answers on his Apple Watch and says, okay, come on over. And I'm in the middle of preaching right now, but you just come on over after service. And I'll look. And the priest would inspect that spot. I'm just being silly. The priest didn't have Apple Watches. You know that, right? Okay. What did they have, Hank? Android. Yes, that's what I thought. I knew before he ever said it that was coming. It was before the apostolic movement, you see. And the sound man was watching to make sure I didn't literally drop the mic. So after a little while, they come back. They show themselves to the priest, and the priest says, okay, now he makes the call. The priest makes the call, whether they are healed and received back or you're wishful thinking, go back to the colony. This is what Jesus was abiding by. When they come and ask him to heal them, what do they say? They said, have mercy on us. That's general, right? I like that. They're pretty smart. Just come to the Lord and say, oh God, do something for me, Lord. You know what needs to be done. And when he saw them, he said exactly what the law would say if they thought they were cleansed. They are not yet cleansed. When Jesus says to them, go perform what the law says to do if you are cleansed. This is a faith walk now. here's the issue with many people. They don't want to walk it until they've proved it. And here's the problem with that, is this Christian walk can't be proven until it's walked. Well, I'm not going to repent of my sins. I don't know about all that. You won't know about all that till you repent. I'm not getting in that water. That just looks, oh, I don't know about all that. Getting baptized. And why'd I have to be baptized in Jesus' name? I don't know. You're getting all wet in front of everybody. That's just ceremonial. And that's just something that they make up. You won't know about it until you get in the water and do it. I've baptized hundreds, I'm sure, of people. Never have I seen one come up out of the water and say, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Never. Never had one call me a week later. Hey, I'd like my money back, which we don't charge for baptisms, but you know what I mean. I want a refund on that baptism. I just don't think it's worth. Never. I've many times seen people come out of the water shouting and dancing and praising God and say, oh, I can't believe, I don't know why I waited so long. See, you won't know it. You won't prove it until you walk it. Some things you got to read it and you've got to obey it. And when you obey it, you will realize it in your life. But not until you get up and start walking in faith, walking in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. You've got to obey. Somebody shout obey. You got to obey the Word of God. Now, listen, we don't have time today. I wish I had a little more time. I took a long time talking about cell phones. But here's the thing. We don't talk about obedience much anymore. It's not popular to say the word obey. But if we don't obey the word, we'll not realize the word. And we'll stand back, and we will stand back in our cynicism and our critical spirits, and we will talk about all the reasons we shouldn't and we won't and we won't, and those bunch of, you know, we're called everything nowadays, hypocrites and judgmental, and especially us apostolics. We're radicals and we're ultra conservatives and we're cults. Some people call us a cult, and they throw everything at us. Here's my challenge to all of you that throw your rotten tomatoes at us. Let's look in the Word. You've got to show me in the Word where it says we're not to live a life of separation. Show me in the Word, and I'll stop preaching it if it says we shouldn't separate ourselves. I'll stop preaching separation. Show me in the Bible where men shouldn't look like, act like, talk like, walk like men, and I'll stop pushing that. You show me where women should wear men's apparel and act like men and talk like men, and we'll go there. We'll just leave it alone. But here's the thing. You throw the tomatoes all you want. Call us all the names you want. Make fun of us. Ridicule us. Put your little videos on Facebook criticizing us all you want to. But it comes down to this Word of God. And as long as we're in the Word, we got to preach the Word. And as long as it's in the Word, we've got to preach obey, 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 obey. Yes. If it's there, I've got to live in it. If Jesus says, walk it, I've got to walk it. If he says, do it, I'm going to do it. If he says, be baptized, I'm getting in the water. Get out of my way. If he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, I'll get out of my way. I'm going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If he says, live a holy life, get out of my way. I'm going to live a holy life of separation and consecration unto my God. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you believe a little bit of what I'm preaching, come on and help me preach. Don't just throw insults at us. Let's talk Bible. It was when they obeyed what Jesus said to do. Here's what it says. Here's what the Bible says. He says, go show yourselves unto the priest. And they could have said, oh, but Jesus, we're not cleansed. But here's what the law says. We still got spots. My hand's still withered. I still limp. Look at my face. All the signs of leprosy are still upon me. Don't wait until you think you've got your life all under control and everything's all tucked away and you've discarded this habit and you've got that under control. If you wait till you stop smoking to come to Jesus, the devil will make sure you never quit smoking. You wait till I've taken my last drink of alcohol. When I go 2 weeks or when I'm clean and sober for 6 months, I might come to Jesus. That's not Bible. I'll just share something with you that a lot of you don't even know. I'll talk about it at 2 o'clock. But when we got saved, when we talk about we were saved 30 years ago, what we're talking about is our souls got saved. And some people got up from being saved and they never wanted another drink. They never wanted another smoke. They never wanted another drug. They never felt like saying another cuss word. But those testimonies are just that. They are testimonies. And there are we don't give microphones to all the people that say, I want to tell you right now, Pastor, I got the Holy Ghost on Sunday and I smoked a cigarette on Sunday night. we don't put them in the magazine, see. Because that doesn't inspire anybody. But maybe it does. Maybe this is our breakdown here, is we tried to shelter people from the reality of the fact that my soul got saved, but my soul had to grab my body by the nape of the neck and say, now you're coming along for the ride. I'm going to have to bring you under subjection. Yeah, you're going to want to smoke tonight, but tomorrow's another day. You're going to want to go to the bar this week, but our soul is saved. Now the body's got to come along. We must bring our bodies under subjection. But Paul said it's a daily requirement. And we are failing this world when we act like the moment we got the Holy Ghost, boom, we lined up. We were perfect soldiers, just marching perfectly. Never had another failure. I'll just tell you right now, I'm 57, and I still have the same battle Paul said he had. Daily, I wrestle with my flesh. Every single stinking day. I hate to say it, but it's the reality. And you say, well, Pastor, you're a pastor. Well, I'm a man. Ain't no angels pastoring any churches. I hate to bust your bubble. We're all humans. And we're all trying to walk this walk. Amen? So every single day I face the same battle, the same battle, the same battle that Paul faced. I got to grab this flesh and say, no, not today, buddy, not today. You're not going to win today. And if he does win a battle, I'm not going to let him win the war. Because I know what I got when I was 9 years old was the real thing. Brother Gary, I did receive the Holy Ghost. I did speak in tongues. I spoke in tongues this morning. I know I've got the Holy Ghost. But my flesh is still finding out that it's got to come under complete subjection. And one of these days, I've got good news for all of you. The trumpet's going to sound, and we're getting out of this world, and we're going to be perfectly regenerated with Jesus Christ. We're over there. No more sin, no more temptation, no more failure. But right now, we got to keep on fighting. So don't, here's my point. I'm trying to make this point. Don't you wait till you think your life, go ahead and stand in music, go ahead and come. Don't wait until you think your life is this perfect picture of Christianity. What I'm trying to show, I'm trying to dispel that notion for you and tell you that even us that have been in the church for a long time, you think our lives are all dandy. You don't see the invisible battles. You don't know the invisible battles I have fought just to get to this pulpit today and to bring you the Word of God today. Battles of people. I'm talking about soldiers been marching this march and fighting this fight for decades who they fought just to get here in this seat today. It's part of it. So don't wait till you think everything's just perfect. Come to Jesus today. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. So what did they do? They started going to the priest. And the Bible says it this way now. This is what the Bible says. It came to pass that as they went. What a powerful three words. I'd like to help some of you that are so critical of other people's walks, so critical of other people that don't have, you think they don't have it together as much as I. First of all, you get your eyes off of that. I heard a preacher say, keep your own score. If you didn't hear Brother Southern's Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, you need to go listen to it. Keep your own score. You walk your walk. But you don't compare yourself to everybody else. And you don't judge everybody else. See? So here's the thing. You got to understand. It's as they went, the Lord touched them. The Lord helped them. The Lord cleansed them. Now we have the breakdown. We had the breakdown. All 10 were cleansed and healed of leprosy. All 10 had other issues than just leprosy. Because leprosy leaves its mark. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. Okay? Don't have time for the lesson, but there it is. A concise lesson. Leprosy represents sin. Leprosy gets on your skin, but it gets in your nerves. It spreads through nerves. If you've ever had shingles, you had a little taste of the dynamics of leprosy. Nerve travel, nerves. And then it would affect you in such a way that your hand could draw up. It would cause numbness. Some people think leprosy causes fingers to drop off. That's not true. But what it did do, it rendered you numb. And what happens, the reason why most of us don't lose fingers when we get cut is because we feel the pain. And then our blood starts rushing there and all these cells go and they start healing that wound. And we know enough to wash it out, put something over it, and we baby it and we hold it up, like, especially us men. You ever see us walking like this? We either got a really good idea or we got a boo-boo on our finger. You got an idea? No, I got a little cut right here. So, but we don't lose the finger because we tended to the wound. People with leprosy, they're so numb, they could get something. Doesn't bother them, doesn't hurt that bad. I mean, they forget about it, so it gets infected. And the infection spreads pretty soon. They lose a finger. They lose a hand. That finger doesn't grow back just because leprosy leaves your body. And that limp doesn't go away because of all the damage to the nerves that have happened in that, or ligaments or whatever in your leg. That limp doesn't go away. Leprosy can be gone, but the limp remains until they go back to Jesus. This is the sad principle of the 10 lepers, is that 9 out of 10 just celebrate an experience. 1 out of 10 turn their experience into a relationship. Come back to Jesus and worship Him. What you're doing here today on a Sunday morning is part of your worship. You were here last week and the week before and the month before and the year before. Why? You're a worshiper. See, some of you thought I was going to talk to you about dancing and shouting and clapping and running. That's another sermon for another day. But that's your praise. It's part of your worship. But your worship is about your day in, day out, coming to Jesus. He touched me. I'm so excited. I'm so thankful I received the Holy Ghost when I was 9 years old. But I'm not standing here preaching because I got the Holy Ghost when I was 9. I'm preaching this message today because I came back to Jesus the next day. And then when I was 10, and then when I was 11, and then when I was 20, and then when I was 30, and then when I was 40, and then when I was 50, and I keep saying I'm 57, and I'm not 57 yet. I'm going to really be happy when my birthday comes, and I think, oh, I'm just now turning 57, but I'll be 57 in a few months, and I'm still, see, here's the thing. Say, Brother Hawkins, you mean you've had a perfectly victorious year? Not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm still fighting. I'm still walking. I'm still coming back to Jesus, and I'm worshiping Jesus, and in that act of worshiping Him, this is what the Bible says, this is what Jesus said, and I'm done. When it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed, all 10. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He said, you know what? I know what the law says and I know what Jesus said, but that priest didn't heal me. That law didn't do anything for me. There's something more about this man, and I got to find out what it is. And he was a Samaritan. He was, here's today's version of that. He was a real sinner. You think you're a, oh, he was a Samaritan. He had no right. And Jesus said, were there not 10? I was ready to, oh man, you don't even know what I was going to do. Weren't there 10? He's excited because he thinks 10 were cleansed. 10 will come. He said, weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? He's looking, where are the 9? Surely they're coming. Oh, there's not found that returned to give glory to God except this stranger. Catch this. He said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made this is a huge principle. The principle of the 10 lepers is you can have an experience and be in the 9, or you can be in the 1% that says, I got to have more than just an experience. I want to be whole. Wholeness is in worship. Returning whole. Mind, spirit, soul, body, whole. Hey, would you like to have a physical touch, or would you like to be made whole? Let me tell you, if you're made whole, it covers the whole package. Or you can just have a little, you can just have a little touch. We can touch your body and you can walk better and you can feel better, but you're still going to hell. Hey, come on now. You're going to walk better, but you're still going to lay awake at night worrying and fretting and your mind's going everywhere and then you're depressed and you're discouraged and you're weak and you're... Jesus said, I can make the whole package whole. I created you, spirit, soul, body. I can make you whole. But you got to come back to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Come on. I would like us. I've got to close. I'm done. I don't want to give a lengthy altar call because I gave a lengthy sermon. So if you would help me by responding to the word, let's fill this altar up today. Would you do it? Fill this altar up and then make an altar out of your chair. If your knees will bend, turn around and bow at your seat. Make an altar out of your seat. I feel like we need to really bow before the Lord. If you can't bow, don't bow. Don't hurt yourself. Sit and make an altar. But let's talk to Jesus. Come on, Lord, I want to be in that 1%. I got to be in that one. I'm going to come back. I don't want to just show up once in a while for a touch. I don't want to just have an experience. I don't want to just amen a sermon once in a while or feel excited once in a while. I don't want to just sing the songs. Lord, I really want to be a dedicated, consecrated worshiper of Jesus Christ. God, I pray today that you will make your people whole. Make them whole. Make them whole. In Jesus' name.